Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. And this week on Abounding Grace, we're going to go to John chapter 11 and consider together Jesus' raising of Lazarus from the dead. It is such a beautiful passage, an important passage, because in every way it speaks to our hope. It speaks to the Christian's hope who has put his confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ in life and in death. And this week we go back to John 11 as we see the whole implication for what Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Well, I begin today by saying the issue of the resurrection, the issue of how the church has dealt with the resurrection and the false attacks that it has received throughout history, tells us how important of an issue this is for the Christian to understand. The church in Corinth was facing an early attack from false teachers on the doctrine of the resurrection. The apostle wrote to them saying, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." That is an all-out assault on anyone who would doubt the resurrection. In fact, it was often the great battle the apostle fought to protect this truth. You'll remember in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort who have strayed, said Paul, concerning the truth, saying the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. The reason this truth is so important for us is because it has everything to do with our hope. When Paul said that if Christ has not been risen, then we are still in our sins, then the implication is that the entire doctrine of justification by faith alone is rooted in the fact that Christ is risen. And if this is denied, we have absolutely no basis to be assured of forgiveness. The Apostle Paul made this very clear in Romans chapter 4, that righteousness shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up our Lord Jesus from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. So your very righteous standing is rooted in the fact that Christ is risen. And the implications of that are huge for how we live, what we look forward to, how we go forward in this life in hope of what the resurrection has brought now and what is promised to us. So this week, I go back to this familiar passage with Lazarus. It's one of my favorites because this text so beautifully displays the meaning of the resurrection and the hope that we have in the midst of this present distress and this present sorrow that we face. And I say today in full recognition that many of you who are listening today have gone through terrible things in the past, maybe in the present are feeling great sorrow by events that are happening, and we are silent. Maybe some of you have sick parents, some of you have recently lost them, some of you maybe have lost children at young ages, and these pains are real. They are present many years later. And the great balm for these wounds is to set them in light of the resurrection. The resurrection of Christ is the basis for a firm confidence that soon these earthly sorrows will come to an end. And I want us to see, again, that practically speaking, as we look into the sorrow that some of the sheep faced years ago, how the resurrection became the message that ultimately calmed the heart. So whatever it is, you may be experiencing or suffering today as a, if you're a Christian listening, the resurrection is the answer to these sorrows. It's the answer because Christ has given us the hope in life and in death by himself rising from the dead. In the first few verses of John chapter 11, painting the scene here, given the context, you have distraught sisters and Mary and Martha because their brother Lazarus is sick. They come to Jesus in verse 3. This is John 11, verse 3. And they say to him, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." That's an interesting inclusion because essentially what they're appealing to is that this child of God, this is a child of God, and they know that Jesus has the ability and the power to deliver him. He has been doing this, of course, all over the region. He's been healing people of their sicknesses, their infirmities, their sorrows. And now you hear the appeal on Mary and Martha. "Lord, here is one you love. This is one of yours. But he's sick." And essentially they're saying, "Lord, come heal our brother." In verse 4, we read, when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus is giving us insight here that whatever is about to happen, through this sickness, God will be glorified. But ultimately, he makes the promise that this sickness will not be unto death. You know, I'm always impressed with the fact that immediately after he says this, the very next thing that is shown is the reality of his love. It says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Immediately when we hear that, the first thing that comes to mind is that whatever Lazarus is going to face in God's providence and in God's design, whatever grief and pain Martha and Mary are going to face through this, and whatever they will have to endure, they will go through it all so that the glory of God would be revealed. One thing shines through it all in the midst of it, that amidst the fact that God's glory will be shown, Jesus loves his sheep. Now, things begin to take their course here. In verse 6, I want you to listen to this carefully. "So when he heard," this is Jesus, "when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was." That's an amazing verse. He stayed? Do you see what the text is communicating to us? He waited for Lazarus to die. He left Lazarus alone to die in the land of Judea while Jesus remained in the region beyond the Jordan. And what I can't help but seeing here is that Jesus is teaching us something absolutely fundamental about life and about death. That even though Jesus is not present and even though Lazarus became sick unto death, as final and as damaging as that may have seemed, and as hurtful, completely maybe even non-understandable, not even this death would inhibit in any way the full revelation and the fulfilling of the glory of God. Not even this tragedy, as awful as it was, God's glory would be put on display. He would be glorified through this as Jesus had spoken. And here's where we really are tested to put our confidence and trust in the Lord in every situation of life. Well, and that's what happens here. What transpires? Well, Lazarus dies. And Jesus says it plainly in verse 14. He comes to them, and what does he find? "Well, all these people have gathered around those who are mourning. And Lazarus has been placed in the tomb now for 4 days. Look, we can put this clearly in our terms. This is that very tragic circumstance of life that is not normal to what we think is the course of life. Something that is not right. Something that could have been prevented. I mean, how many times have we heard of a doctor who, if he just had done something a little bit different, that person would be alive? It's the unexpected accident. It's similar to the accidents that we read of in the news that are just tragic, that one little turn this way or one little turn that way, and things would have been a lot different. It's that actress I read about a month ago, dying on a bunny hill, skiing on a bunny hill. You know, there's all sorts of these things that happen. Many of you have seen loved ones suffer. And in many of these circumstances, we know that just had something been a little bit different, one little turn this way or that way, the whole outcome would have been different than the present distress and the present sorrow that we're experiencing and facing. And that's exactly what Mary and Martha are faced with. All of this could have been prevented. And we really are confronted with whether we pay lip service here to the providence and the sovereignty of God. I mean, do these things just happen by chance, freak chance, or are all things so ordered in some way to reveal ultimately God's great power, sovereignty, and providence, even through things that at the immediate inception seem to be, or even have appeared to have gotten away from God? And so here Jesus comes on the scene. It's the worst of scenes we know. You know, as a pastor, I can't stand the funeral home. There's a horrid, empty sense of abandonment, of loss. It's dark. It's cold. Nobody knows what to say. It's the moment people are confronted with a reality that will sober up anyone to the fact that something is very wrong in this world. The silence is almost unbearable. We do what we can, of course, to make it pleasant, flowers and music and beautiful decor, but nothing really numbs it. The grave is before us. And here's the scene, my friends. Our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes upon this scene, and remember what had been communicated. He had waited for this to happen. The death had run its course. Tragic as it had seemed, Jesus said the Son of God will be glorified through this, and that this death would indeed be for the glory of God. But he comes, and he finds them in a funeral home setting. All these people have gathered and are weeping. They are weeping. How in the world could this put on display the glory of God? And what Jesus does here in this text is call them to faith in him. I am the resurrection and life. I told you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God. This week, we're going to consider how Jesus raises Lazarus, and that whole message is pointing to his glorious resurrection so that all who die in the Lord will rise again. That's the promise, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and we must put our trust and confidence in him in life and in death.
Well, that's all the time we have today. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our goal in bringing you Abounding Grace each and every day is that you would grow and abound in grace through the study and the teaching and preaching of God's Word. If you have any questions about the broadcast or anything that you've heard here on the broadcast, or if you have any questions about your own relationship with Jesus Christ, we would love to talk with you. You can call us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can also access our website, lindenurc.com. Find out a bit more about us. Take advantage of some of the sermons that we've posted online there, as well as email us with any questions or concerns you might have, especially prayer requests. We would love to pray for you in any way that we can. Again, lindenurc.com or call 360-318-0429. You can always write to us at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. 98264 is our zip code. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. And for directions, you can either visit our website, lindenurc.com, or call 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today, and until next time, God bless.